You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. Learn more at starlegacyfoundation.org. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to rate and review this podcast in iTunes. Our guest for this episode is Dr. Anthony Orsini of Orlando Health. He currently serves as the Vice Chairman of Neonatology and is the Medical Director of the Level 2 Neonatal Intensive Care Unit. Dr. Orsini has been published in multiple journals and lectures extensively on communication in healthcare. I spoke with him primarily about the organization he founded, BBN, which teaches physicians how to share bad news with families. Well, Dr. Orsini, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
My first question for you is just about your organization called BBN. Can you tell me a little bit about what this organization does and why it was founded?
Yes, this organization was founded really as a means to train physicians and all healthcare professionals how to communicate both tragic news to patients and families, but also just to teach general communication skills to most healthcare professionals.
I think a lot of people who are not in the healthcare profession would assume that the skills that you teach is something that is taught in medical school. Is there a gap here in terms of the skills that are taught to healthcare professionals?
Yes, exactly right. Most people do assume that physicians are trained in how to discuss tragic news with patients and families, when in fact the reality is less than 10% of senior physicians are trained in this very important skill. Now, medical schools are doing a little bit better job than they used to. They do have some small training right now that they teach to newer medical students, but it's still very lacking. Most of the training consists of maybe a short lecture or some role-playing among the students, so we still have a long way to go.
So you're the founder of this organization. Why did you found it in the first place? What was your goal?
Well, you know, as a young physician, I'm a neonatologist, so I take care of the very sick premature babies and newborns. Very early on in my training, I knew that as a neonatologist, I was going to have to break bad news frequently, and I took that responsibility very seriously. The thought of telling somebody that their baby died or that their child was going to have lifelong disabilities just really frightened me. So early on, I decided to watch as many of my seniors give bad news. And I was profoundly impacted at the discovery that even the most successful and the most respected physicians clearly did not know how to discuss tragic news with patients. They didn't offer any guidance, and there really was no accepted right and wrong way. So I dedicated the next 10 years of my life to trying to find out the answer to the question, is there a right and a wrong way to break bad news? And so I did a lot of research. I looked at the literature that was available, which wasn't much. Continue to watch as many physicians as possible who seemed to get it right, who seemed to not get it right. But most importantly, I interviewed dozens and dozens and dozens of family members and patients who were very willing to share their experience with me, both good and bad, on how they heard bad news from their physician. And so that's why I came up with the Breaking Bad News program and the BBN program acronym that is now still being used to teach professionals how to communicate in the most compassionate manner.
So what are some of the high-level tips, based on all of this research you've done for the last decade or so? What have you learned, and what are the tips that you give people on a very high level on how to break bad news?
So the goal of all communication with patients and families is really always the same, and that's how to build a trusting relationship. And that's especially true when you're delivering tragic news. I mean, we as physicians are literally changing someone's life forever. And so the goal is always to build a trusting relationship. Sometimes you have to do that in a very short period of time. So we try to teach physicians and healthcare professionals how to form that relationship. We give them tips such as sitting down, positioning themselves in the proper space, using the nonverbal body language to convey the compassion that most of us are feeling, but sometimes hard to show. So a lot of the tips I would say to young professionals who are learning how to do this is just feel, let your compassion that you're feeling show through and take your time. The goal here is to let the family members know that you are genuinely compassionate about what they're feeling and that you are there for them, you know what to do, and that you're going to help them get through this. And often as healthcare professionals, especially ones who have not been trained, we often get nervous, we rush it, and even though we're well-meaning, we often don't show that compassion that these families really need.
Do you remember the first time you had to break news to a patient, break bad news to a patient? And if so, looking back with everything you know today, how did you do?
Like most other physicians, I do remember the first time I had to break bad news. It was a mother who I had to tell that their child had died in the delivery room. It was unexpected. It was a full-term baby. And I was very nervous. And I did the best I could. I was genuinely upset and genuinely compassionate about what had happened. But because I was nervous, I rushed through it. I didn't sit down. And like most physicians who are uncomfortable with these situations, my goal was to really get it over with. And thinking back now, I was doing what most physicians do, is thinking of breaking bad news as a task, something that I just needed to get over with. But now that I learned and I know the proper way to do this, I'm able to think of the breaking bad news as more of a responsibility and a skill that I could really be proud of. So I did many things wrong.
So what is being taught in medical schools when it comes to breaking bad news?
Most medical schools today are doing a better job than they used to when it comes to teaching bad news, but their training is still limited to a one-hour didactic lecture or a brief role-playing session that they do with simulated patients. They're still teaching some of the older teaching models, such as Spikes, which at the time was the best teaching model they had, but I think for now does not serve the more modern patient. What BBN does is we take this simulated role-playing sessions to the next level. We use professional actors who are able to improv much better, and we videotape these sessions so that after the role-playing session, the participant is able to review their video with BBN certified instructors that, by the way, are not only medical but non-medical. And so it's one thing to tell somebody that their body language was nervous or that they seemed too casual. It's another thing to actually show them. And we've been very successful just with our training. 93% of participants beforehand said that they were nervous about breaking bad news. And after the training's over, in anonymous surveys, 96% of them said that they felt prepared or extremely prepared to give bad news. So medical schools are doing a little bit better job, but we need to take that much further. This is a skill that can't be taught very quickly.
What are some non-medical scenarios where someone might deliver bad news? You mentioned that you work in both the medical and non-medical space.
So the communication techniques that we teach to physicians on how to give tragic news are really the same communication techniques that it takes to teach somebody how to de-escalate a situation. For instance, how to deal with an angry patient or an angry customer. These are the same communication techniques that are very helpful to managers in business on how we can teach managers and has how to communicate with their employees to help retain employment and to be good leaders. So once you learn how to communicate, you can use these skills for really anything that comes by. Like we like to say, what we teach is we teach how to fish. We don't give somebody a fish. So the communication techniques that we teach will serve you in all walks of life.
The service that BBN provides is preparing people for a really bad day, and it's oftentimes something that people don't want to think about. Have you found that that is an obstacle to getting people interested in the subject matter that you guys cover, or are you finding that there's a real thirst for this type of information and this type of service?
We are finding more and more healthcare professionals who are seeking us out, saying that I need help not only communicating tragic news, but I need help with my communication skills. Patient satisfaction scores and Prescani scores right now are the hottest topic in medicine, and communication is the number one predictor of patient loyalty. And so we have had a lot of physicians and other healthcare professionals contact us to teach them how to communicate, because again, it's all about building relationships, and that's very important when you're giving tragic news, but it's also very important during routine office visits and routine hospital rounds. So the topic of breaking bad news is still one that people don't want to admit that they're not good at, but more and more more physicians are hearing about what we do and are asking us to train them, both young physicians and senior physicians.
Many people would say that the messenger of bad news will always be seen by the recipient of the bad news negatively. They're the grim reaper. They're the person that is delivering possibly the worst news that you'll ever hear in your life. Do you agree with that, that the deliverer of bad news will always be seen negatively?
No, actually, I would say that's the direct opposite is true, that we are there at the most critical times of many people's lives. We are there. We are literally changing their lives forever when we give that bad news. And during these tragic times, patients and families are looking to us to help them. And if we are able to communicate this tragic news in the most compassionate manner, people will actually bond with us, form relationship with us. I have mothers and fathers whose babies I've had to pronounce dead or give tragic news in the last 25 years, who still send me Christmas cards, who still visit me, who still send me emails about the other children that they've had. We have a bonding relationship forever. And if done correctly, you can actually form a relationship very quickly. So I couldn't disagree with that statement more, actually. I think if you don't do it well, that's true. But this is an opportunity for us to really help people when they need us the most.
So I'm curious about patient impact. How are patients impacted if they receive bad news the right way versus the wrong way? What have you learned?
Well, we know that the manner in which physicians break bad news to patients and families will affect them both in the long term and in the short term. For instance, if a physician delivers tragic news in a rushed or a casual manner, that physician may give the family a feeling that he doesn't care or he or she is not compassionate. And the patient and family may feel that if you took delivering that tragic news casually, you may have even taken the diagnosis casually or rushed the resuscitation. Now, that may seem irrational to you, but we have to remember that these are times when patients are the most irrational. In contrast, if a physician who delivers the news in an effective and compassionate manner, they can form that bond instantly with the family and form a lasting relationship with them. So how that news is broken can affect these patients immediately, how they react, but also studies have shown that giving bad news improperly can affect somebody decades later.
If there's a health professional listening who has never heard of BBN before, number one, how can they learn more about it? And what are the various offerings you provide? Are there one-on-one sessions? Are there retreats? What types of offerings do you provide?
If any healthcare professional or even first responder would like more information about what we teach, they can go to our website, which is bbnprogram.com. We offer a variety of different types of training. What we call our signature approach is individualized training that you and I have discussed earlier, where physicians are able to participate in improvisational role-playing and get one-on-one instruction to go over the videotape with medical and non-medical personnel. But if we also offer other programs such as half-day workshops to teach the same kind of communication skills, sometimes where people are able to participate in improvisational role playing, but to a lesser, not on a one-on-one situation. And then finally, there's a lot of lectures that we give around the country as a preliminary lecturing series, just to introduce people to the same concepts that we're teaching in more of in the workshops and in the individualized sessions. So really, there's a lot of different programs that we offer. The signature approach or the one-on-one is the most comprehensive, but there's other programs that can be that can be done also to help people learn how to communicate. We also do an extensive program teaching healthcare professionals how to improve their patient satisfaction scores. Using the same techniques, we're able to help them improve their Prescani scores, help them communicate, whether it's bad news or during everyday office visits. So there's a lot of different things that we can teach, and they all center around very advanced communication techniques.
Well, Dr. Orsini, on behalf of the Star Legacy Foundation and families across the country who have experienced loss, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I know from experience, the moment you receive that terrible news is a very pivotal moment in someone's life, and it should not be underestimated. So thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
And thank you for having me.
That's all for this episode of the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. Learn more at starlegacyfoundation.org. I'm Chris Duffy. Thanks for listening.